Okay, here we go. Take number six.
Take 85.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Dot Dot Doc. I'm Ian, your host, and this week we'll be talking about Confessions of a Superhero. It's a 2007 documentary following the lives of four people who dress up like superheroes on Hollywood Boulevard. I'm joined again this week by Matt. Hello, Matt.
Hey, Ian, how's it going?
It's going well.
I'm glad.
This is like the sixth time we've tried to do this, and it's... I think we've got it. This is the best it's gone so far, and I'm not recording anymore.
Right, we're on a roll. We're on a roll.
We're doing it. So, Matt, what do you think of the documentary?
I really enjoy it. It's it maybe because of its length as well, but it feels almost like a film. Like, you know, obviously every documentary is a film, I suppose, to a degree. But do you know what I mean? Like, it feels there's just a funness to it.
Yeah, I've got like a personal story with this film. I remember I was living in a shared house, and we discovered this on like Netflix and just become like obsessed with it. It's such a fun like drinking documentary, if that makes any sense.
Definitely.
Where you just drink, just everything about it. I love everything about it. It's the people in it. They're kind of just larger than life.
Yeah. There's a lot of layers to it, like with the people, like a lot of layers to the documentary as well.
And Batman on his own, I just want to have a whole documentary just dedicated to
him. I want
him.
To have a beer with him. He's incredible.
He's just such a character. I'm interested to see what he's done since in the post stuff. That's what I'm interested to see. Like, because at the end, like midway through this, we're going to look into what's happened since and going maybe into what everybody's done since and that and what's happened because of the documentary. But anyway, let's just get into it. Superman is Christopher Lloyd Dennis, and he kind of comes across like he's trying to become Superman. He has like
it's an absolute obsession for him.
He was walking down the street telling like Ghost Rider how to act and how to be and how to present himself.
Do you know, that's possibly one of my highlights of the documentary, that scene with him and Ghost Rider. Just the conversation they have, like I've made a little note of it here. It's Superman basically saying, just remember, superheroes don't smoke. It's an image. And then you have Ghost Rider saying, except Ghost Rider. Superman follows with, no, Ghost Rider doesn't smoke. Ghost Rider says, he's made of fire. Superman says, but still, he doesn't smoke cigarettes. But just the way that scene plays out, like, I love it. Absolutely love it. The fact that Ghost Rider is trying to justify it by being made of fire, I was just like, that is just brilliant. Like, what a moment to capture. Like, that's what one of the great parts of this documentary is. It doesn't feel forced. It feels like it is following this group of people, and you're getting as real as you can get image into their life, really.
Well, I found out that the director of it, he was directing like commercials and stuff down the street from Hollywood Boulevard, and he would see them all standing out there and that, and he ended up like one day between like shooting, he would go and film, you know, like and go talk to them, and then like he wanted to find out their story and how they are as people, and he just become like, you know, obsessed with it. And he was filming it just in his own spare time between work. It was quite cheap, quite easy to make because it was like just filming them, and just filming in their house alone is just incredible. Just seeing that, how they live.
Well, it's Superman's house. Like, it's just, it's a treasure trove. Like, it's an absolute gold mine for any huge Superman fan. Like, it's a gold mine. He's just got so much memorabilia. Like, but that's where you see the obsession coming through. Like, it's more than just a job for him. It is a way of life. Like, he, in some in some weird way, I think he really deep down believes he is Superman.
The one thing I noticed that he did say was, in their house, he said that there was 80,000 to 90,000 pounds worth of like merchandise in there, of superhero, and that's over the last 4 years.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, they must absolutely rake it in on, you know, on the good days and stuff. And I didn't realize there was also, it's not,
but
not
well,
all year round.
But then how long had he been with his, at the time, his girlfriend? Does it say how long they'd been together? Because obviously, if she's,
I'm not too sure. Maybe I suppose if she's, because she seems quite,
she seems like pretty doting towards him. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's weird. Their relationship kind of seems like she's almost analyzing him.
Yeah,
it's like, yeah, it's almost like,
because that is part of her profession.
I kind of got that vibe the whole film. It was like she was talking about him whilst he's in the room, and it's kind of felt like she was, like, you know, she's talking about him like he wasn't in the room. Mm-hmm. It was, and they also claim that the amount of like the merchandise in there is probably worth like $1 million.
Yeah.
Of and do you reckon it would be worth that? I mean, a lot of the signed stuff.
A lot of the signed stuff, you would get good money for that kind of stuff. Like, and especially, you know, if after Christopher Reeves died, then the price on all that kind of thing just goes up exponentially.
Signed vinyl or something.
Yeah.
Of the soundtrack of him.
But again, the other memorabilia he has, a lot of, you know, the value comes in the condition of it being boxed and the condition of the box. And so it really would depend on how much care he took of all that stuff. And it kind of looks in the room like, well, it's just stacked. Like, you can't move for Superman stuff. Like, it's just everywhere. It's like a messy Superman museum. Like, but it's incredible. It's incredible. Like, I want to go in that room. I want to, you know, look at all that stuff. Like, it is just incredible.
How much would you pay for one of his Superman dioramas? Like, was it the
these dioramas that he made?
Yeah, dioramas.
Oh, well, I mean, just I wouldn't pay a lot for it, but I'd happily take one if he was giving it away. Because even that part, when, like, because I think it's when the other characters of the documentary describing Christopher Superman, yeah, and they're describing him and describing his obsession, and then that's the time he comes out with that, and it's just, yeah.
Yeah, he just, I don't know, he comes across like the leader in the, or the kind of go-to guy in the documentary. He kind of seems like the one that the police of the place respect, and, you know, they know that he's going to be the one to follow the law.
Yeah.
And like, there was a part where Marilyn Monroe comes up to him and she's like kicking off of that, oh, all these tourists have come up to me and not one of them has tipped me.
Yeah.
And I can see the frustration, because, you know, you're out there to do a job and you're trying to make money, making it ends meet.
Oh, 100%. 100%. But I feel as well like a lot of, what is it? Because they're constantly saying, we do work for tips, you know. You know, just little dropping little subtle hints. Like, but they're not even meant to say that. They're not meant to ask for tips whatsoever. And you can see, like, there's almost this conflicting side of Superman, like, because obviously he's trying to portray this good, clean character, but the camera's on him more than a couple of times within the documentary where he's basically asking for tips. And I just find that funny as well, because, you know, I suppose if you don't ask, there would be a lot of people that would just go, oh, well, this is free then, why am I gonna pay? And it is their livelihood, so you can understand it, but it does make me laugh the amount of times they're saying it.
Yeah, but they'd make their money otherwise. They need to make people aware of it, and And yeah, just, you know, someone overhears, oh, tip, they're getting the money ready, and then it's kind of like, picture, there you go, here's a dollar.
Yeah.
I don't know how much you meant to tip. I guess anything you can afford. What do you reckon about the story of his mum coming up, where it's Sandy Dennis?
Mm-hmm.
She's like this famous actress, and I don't know. I mean, do you reckon that he was lying about it, possibly?
There is an underlying kind of dark past with all of the characters. I feel like it's subtly portrayed throughout the documentary, and I feel this is part of his, part of, like what I said at the beginning, with the, you know, having many, many layers, this documentary. But I feel there is, like, I do wonder if he is her son. Like, you're kind of left kind of thinking, like, because again, you might, I suppose to a degree, you kind of want to believe it, or you have no reason not to believe it until people start saying that he isn't. But you want to believe it, I suppose, because you have this image of him as, oh, it's Superman, it's good. But yeah, I came away from the documentary. I mean, it's not the first time I've watched it, but it's been a while since I last watched it. But I came away, and I think I probably did the first time I watched it, thinking that he's not the son of that lady. But I could be completely wrong. I don't know. It may have been found out in the time since then. But yeah, it just feels like he's making it up. And then when the documentary filmmaker questions him on it, and Orwell says that people have said that he's not the son, he comes out with, well, that's their opinion. And I just think, well, you wouldn't say that. It just comes across, there's maybe a bit of a white lie going on there.
I don't know, it's weird, because I did think that he did look a bit like the one woman, like, saying, the cousins and stuff. Was it the cousins? I think it was.
Yeah.
Or was it the aunties?
Aunties. Yeah, yeah. Or that side.
He did resemble the family a little bit, I think.
Yeah, I suppose. But then why would he be written off the way he is? Like, or again, maybe that could be the dark side of his. I don't know. It's a tough one. Hopefully some more info's come out about that.
Yeah, we'll check that in the post. But one thing I did think, though, was, do you reckon he's had work done?
What, to look like
to look like Christopher Reeves?
No.
I thought his face kind of seemed a bit...
There is an oddness to his face, but I just... No, it doesn't stand out to me. Like, I mean, again, if this was made in 2007, obviously, you know, that kind of surgery's probably come a long way since then. But no, like, there's an oddness to his face. I agree there, but I think it is just his face, and not in a mean way either. Like, just there's something quite odd there. But no, I don't think he's had work done.
Yeah, who knows?
Yeah, I don't know. There's so many moments. He's so fascinating a character. There's moments where his girlfriend's describing things about him. They're sat on the couch talking, and he's kind of sat there like smirking. And the camera, like, it goes tight on his face and like close up. And yeah, he's just smirking away, and he's like answering her, but with like, things relevant to Superman, I didn't understand that. Oh, you would in Kryptonian or something like that. But he's like, just got this little, like, it's almost like a childlike smirk of, I don't know, but it's just, he's a fascinating character.
Yeah, like any mortal man.
Yeah. And it is. It's like he's hiding that laughter of like, yes, I got it there. Like, but again, that kind of speaks, I suppose, to the obsession is probably on his mind 24/7.
So the bit where he goes to Metropolis and he enters the Superman competition, like, how gutted were you when he didn't win? Did you expect him to win overall, or?
I kind of thought, because obviously he's going there with a camera crew, you know, that could, to the organizers of the event, that could, you know, for them be like bring some attention. So I thought maybe he's going because he knows he's got it won, because he's bringing a camera crew and stuff like that. But yeah, it's kind of heartbreaking, like, for him not to win it. Especially like there's moments when he's talking about when he found out about Christopher Reeves passing away, and you can tell it really hurt him deep down. Like his voice kind of breaks, you know, in parts where, you know, where it's obviously emotional for him when he's talking about it. So it felt like that was kind of a big moment for him, although to a degree he's kind of cashing in at the same time. But you know, that's, I suppose that's part of the business he's in.
I mean, I suppose he does get all those headshots printed and then goes down there.
Yeah.
But
Yeah. So it's like he is cashing in, but you know, that's the business he's in. That's his livelihood. He's got to do what he's got to do.
he's also paying his respects, I guess,
Yeah, of
though.
course. Of course. But yeah, I it is heartbreaking. Like the moment where they're calling out the winner, and you realize it's not him, and they go up, they kind of go close, you know, camera shot on him, and it is, it's that, it's the perfect kind of mirror to Ralph Wiggum and his heartbreaking on The Simpsons, and Bart, you know, rewinding it so you can see his heart breaking at that exact moment. That's what it kind of felt like. It was like, oh man. So yeah, it's kind of sad for him.
Yeah, it's the was it the Spider-Man? He got was like second or something, and his costume was like really cool. And then it re like it holds on his face for a while, and then you see who won, and you're like. And it's like old school Batman.
It's like it's not even good. Like it's like I had a Batman outfit when I was a kid, and it was that old school gray kind of Batman, and it was awful. Like, you know, I didn't grow up watching that Batman. I grew up watching, you know, Michael Keaton, you know, Batman from the films, cool black suit. But yeah, this guy winning, I was just like, oh my God. Like
Yeah.
that'd be even more heartbreaking, especially when it's in Metropolis. Like, but
But
it's heartbreaking slash comical. Like, but that is this documentary as a whole. There's so many ways to feel about this documentary.
yeah, it's I don't know, it doesn't stop him. You know, proposing to
No, exactly.
his wife at the time, like to was it Bonnie? And then getting married. I don't know if it was on the same weekend or what, because it kind of looks like it's the same time.
Yeah,
But
and it looks like
he
it's
definitely,
there.
yeah. But he, yeah, they get married in front of a giant Superman statue, which makes me think it could be possibly then. I don't know.
And she's in a wedding dress and he's wearing his Superman outfit. Like,
Oh
which,
yeah, she wouldn't have a wedding dress, would she? Like, if it was a spare of the moment, she wouldn't be like, oh, I've got a wedding dress in the back. It's it could
exactly.
have been the following year, probably.
But no, just the fact that he's wearing his Superman uniform to his wedding, like, it's just, wow. Like, that's dedication. There's moments in the documentary where they go close up, like, it's obviously, you know, out on the Hollywood Strip, like, it can get quite hot at times. And they show the sweat from Superman. It's just like, it's just, even that's quite jarring from what you'd expect. You know, you don't expect to see sweaty armpits on Superman, do you? Like, but at the same time, I'd go for that photo. Like,
Especially on the day where it's like 100, was it 106 degrees? That was pretty insane. Just like where he takes Wonder Woman, back to his apartment. And like, I like how it makes a thing saying that it puts on the screen that, like, was it Bonnie's asleep in the next room? Like, it's like a big taboo kind of thing.
Yeah. Like, she's only used in the shower, like, to cool down. Like,
yeah. It's what anybody would do. It's fine. But the thing I had to laugh was after that was when the Hulk was saying that he almost blacked out in, like, his suit, which is 130 degrees.
And that, thinking, that is, like, the warmest out of all of them. That suit must be just unbearable. Like, it's full on. Yeah. Like, with a full, like, you know, part you put over your skull. Like, it's crazy.
It's just, like, it made me feel, why didn't Superman invite the Hulk back to his apartment for a shower? I feel like he was the most deserving. He could have, like, completely drenched and still been completely, you know, fine and stuff. You know, he's at a risk of dying in that suit, probably.
Oh, yeah. But I feel as well, like, I didn't get his actual name, but the guy playing the Hulk.
Joe McQueen.
Joe McQueen.
Yeah.
Like, I feel he's the most likable in the documentary.
Definitely.
Kind of the underdog, and you kind of root him for him. And obviously, you know, by the end, what happens, happens with him.
Well, let's start talking about him now, actually, because I think we've kind of covered Superman. The one thing I wanted to say is that Superman, he says he never smokes in his costume, and then at the end of the documentary, he's smoking in his costume. So, but then again,
there's a part in there where you see in his room as well, there's an ashtray literally full of cigarette butts, like next to a Marlboro Red packet of cigarettes. So yeah, kind of the mask slips as the documentary goes on a bit with Superman.
Yeah, but saying that, he doesn't ever smoke in costume out and about.
So no, exactly.
I think he
shouldn't be reprimanded for smoking in his, you know, daily life anyway. Like, but, you know, he takes it seriously. You know, when I'm working, you know, I have an image to uphold. Yeah. Like, so, you know.
Yeah, and I respect that. That's cool. Joe McQueen, who is the Incredible Hulk. So he said that he sold his Super Nintendo to get to LA.
One of the best lines of the whole thing.
It's brilliant. And then he gets there and it's the LA riots at the time. And he has to just hide out in the hills, which is, I don't know, that's probably the worst time to sell your Nintendo, you know, and then end up in the LA riots where, like, feels like end of the world looters and all kinds of terrible stuff happening. But yeah, as you said, I feel like he definitely comes across the most likable out of all the people.
He's like, I don't know what it is, but you're just kind of like, or I felt like after, and it's not long till like when you meet him, he just seems rather like, not so overly out there to a degree. Like obviously you've got to be a bit out there to do what they do. But yeah, he's just, I don't know. He comes across as just a dude trying to make it.
Yeah. He kind of seems like this is a stepping stone to where he wants to be. You know, it feels like he's the one in, apart from Wonder Woman in it, they feel like they're trying to get work. Elsewhere, it's just like a kind of a temporary job.
Yeah, this is like, you know, some actors and actresses, you know, waiter and waitress in between acting work. You know, these guys choose to go out and do this. It's just a different line of work, isn't it? Like, for them, as you say, like a stepping stone.
What did you think about his... Oh, sorry, go on.
I was going to say, I suppose as well, like, to get noticed, perhaps, like... Maybe not for the Hulk, but for Wonder Woman, you know, her face is out there as well. And LA, you know, you hear stories of people just walking down the street and going, oh, you know, I want you for my next movie or whatever. So it's a place where dreams can come true for some.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not too sure about the Hulk getting picked up on the street.
No, exactly. It's not going to happen for him, unfortunately. Maybe when he's passed out and they've took the mask off of him. Poor guy.
He seemed nice enough when he was walking along the street, just talking to randomers. Like when he's just crossing the street, he's like, "Hello, you know, how you doing?" Stuff to just people he's walking past. What do you think about his story about how he was homeless for 4 years, and it shows you him going back to the old places he was, slept, and his like tales about how he would have to go to McDonald's, wash himself up before going to a audition where he just gets laughed at because they're like, you know,
your face doesn't work.
Yeah, your face doesn't work, or you know, he says like some parts of his like hygiene wasn't all there at the time, and you know, it must be super tough to pursue that dream still, barely feed yourself,
and that is true dedication. You know, that's someone that has gotten, you know, I've given up everything to chase this. You know, I'm not going to let the fact that I'm homeless and, you know, really really struggling, but I'm still going to chase. Like it's quite inspiring, really.
Yeah, and he seemed like he really. I mean, he didn't have much in his house, from what I've seen. It was like kind of just mattress on the floor, and there was a couple of Incredible Hulk figures and stuff in the background, which I imagine are probably like the gifts. It wasn't like a collector. He didn't come across like a collector.
No.
It's
a gig for him. Like, why you would choose that gig in that costume, I don't know. Like, go for something cooler, man. Like, cooler as in, you know, more fresh air.
What do you think he could play, like, instead? Like, if he was doing like a face character, that's what they call it, like Disney, where you are just the whole character, you're not just in like a suit, you're a face character.
What, so your face works for that character? No, so you look like that character?
No, if you meant like, say, Snow White at Disneyland, it would be someone who's trained to be just like Snow White. They have the signature down. They have to speak in such a way. They're like, they are a person who's being Snow White. Whereas if he was in a costume, it doesn't matter. About and stuff. But
I mean, I have no idea. Who would you go for?
Yeah, it's tricky. But then again, all I'm thinking of right now is, like, I'd say, I'm just thinking of like him in the film towards the end. But then that's not really a character, apart from unless he plays the character he played in that Finishing the Game, like, film.
I love that bit. I love that bit where you see him like full in costume, and it's like, you know, gone from literally it looks like rags to riches, like, you know, stumbling about in this massive green suit in the boiling hot sun, you know, and that's probably why he comes across so likable, because you kind of seeing the journey with him. And then in this film, like, he just looks absolutely brilliant. Like, just, you know, I've not seen the film, but it looks like it's one of them, you know, kind of off the wall comedies. But yeah, he looks great, and he looks like in his element. Like, it's pure joy when you see him in that moment.
He's just so happy. I don't know, I'm kind of cheering for him, and it does feel like the underdog finally won. I just feel like out of a lot of them, from what I can tell, he was the one who made it in that sense. From what I can tell so far, I'm interested to see where he's gone. After this document,
I'm worried to see where they've gone as well. At the same time, because, well, that life is not exactly glamorous, is it? Like, and it seems if that was made in 2007. You know, has it got worse for them out there now? Like, you know, arrests were happening at the time of this documentary. So has it got worse for them? You know, the mayor, you see parts in the documentary of the mayor of Hollywood, and he just downright doesn't want them there. Calls them panhandlers.
He was the honorary mayor, though, wasn't he?
Sorry.
Yeah, he was. I think he was just like awarded that title. I don't think he. I know that they did. It seemed like at the time they just introduced new laws where they couldn't be, you know, actually trying to solicit tips without being given them. You know, like they can't force themselves on each other. But
they kind of do. In their own way, like, but that's part of the fun of the documentary as well. Is like, there's one moment where I think one tourist comes up. It's Superman and Batman together for a photo, and the person gives I think Batman the money, and then I think Superman's like, it's usually one each, and just even that, I'm just like, oh, it's brilliant, like. It's like they're trying to be so kind about it, but also, you know, especially Batman with his temper. Like, I'd worry about not paying him a tip.
Yeah, because he does seem like aggressive straight away, like from the get go.
Definitely.
He just, I do love that bit where they're having pictures together, and he's kind of like starting to be mouthy towards. He's like just shouting at the other people who are. Was it Spider-Man? Is just like having lunch across the street, and he's like, "Oh, Spider-Man doesn't smoke."
Yeah, calls says he should paint his face as a clown.
Yeah, paint his face, dye his hair green, clown. let's go to this. Let's talk about Wonder Woman. So, Wonder Woman, real name Jennifer Garrett. She's from Maynardville, which I've never heard of until this documentary.
Never heard of that hole in the wall.
No.
That is a quote from the documentary. Just, you know, I don't want anyone getting angry. That's a quote.
Yeah, because, she had like kind of a... What did she say? She said from Tennessee first, didn't she? And then it's like if someone asked me where I'm from, I'd say, London. Like, especially if it's outside of the UK, I'd be like, London.
Yeah.
Because it's,
people ain't
gonna know. Yeah, exactly. You say where you're actually from, and people are like, oh, no, I don't know where that is. And you spend an hour drawing a map. Anyway.
London's just easier. Everyone just knows London.
Yeah, everybody's from London. It's all good. So what did you think about when her dad said that she's named after a horse?
Just awesome. Like, just absolute gold. Like, when they cut back and you see the parents, like, you're kind of wondering what they're going to be like. And just that comment alone. And it looks like the mum's kind of caught off guard by it as well. And then but she knows it's true, so she has to explain it.
Yeah, she's like, oh, it's not a horse, it's a donkey. Like, because, what was it? She was like, you know, males are called Jacks, and female donkeys are called Jennies and stuff like that. And why would you even say that in the documentary about your daughter trying to make it into fame?
Like... the dad literally just like throws it out there. It's like, right, ready, here you go, catch.
My favorite part was where he would just say something, and then the mum would just correct whatever he just said. Like, he would just say something that's completely not true, and or just something, you know, so abrupt, and then the mum would like soften it slightly. Just, she'd be like, well, oh, it's not really like that.
Like, with that, at the same time though, there's a moment where Wonder Woman is talking about her parents and like her background a bit, and she basically mentions that she's closer to her mum, and that her dad only saw her mistakes, but not her, you know, good side, the good things that she done. But then at the same time, it cuts back to them, the parents, and the dad says something like about her cheerleading and about like they won like, I don't know, like national or state championships, you know, which is a massive big thing. But then the mum comes back with, oh no, it wasn't that. You know, and kind of says what it actually was, which was something smaller. So I was like, oh, wow, that kind of shows that the dad kind of did see her goals, even if he didn't see them right, he kind of made them bigger for himself. Like, I thought that was kind of sweet.
Yeah, I can see what you mean like that. It's obviously...
It was subtle. It was really subtle. But yeah, I was just like, oh wow, that's kind of sweet.
She did come across like kind of a bit of a runaway though, didn't she?
Oh, definitely. Like
she just wanted to get out of there. She's kind of like a Cinderella kind of thing, where she was just wanting to get out of that place, make a name for herself. And I love that her parents supported her to do that.
Definitely.
To send her off and just go up against the grain.
Go chase it. Yeah,
it must be so hard. It must be like so oversaturated to be there and trying to just make some noise, you know, in a place where it's surrounded by it. So.
There were parts of me that, like, I was thinking, like, I wonder why she was so eager to leave. Because it, you know, it could be just a case of, you know, I've lived in this town my entire life. You know, I'm done with it. I need to break out of here, kind of thing. And a lot of people do that, and then they go and travel or do whatever. So it could be a case of that. But then, like, later, she's at her, like, I don't know, casting manager or something, like, at a meeting. The casting manager says, I see you as a voluptuous kind of, you know, sexy kind of girl, you know, and they're the roles I'm going to send you for. And she says she has a problem with that because of something from her past where she comes from. So I thought, oh, wow, you know, like, because was she running away from something like that? Had she had a troubled past there? Like, again, it doesn't really dig any further into it, but it just leaves these little kind of drops where you can question things a bit.
Yeah, I can see what you mean though. I didn't even think about that. That makes a bit of sense.
And she comes from a really kind of, you know, church religious kind of background. You know, there's obviously stories that go around. But you know, you just random thoughts of why she may have left there. But who knows? It doesn't really dig any further into why she left, but as I say, it's another thing about the layers of the documentary.
I just want, yeah, she maybe wanted to go somewhere exciting to create her own like path in life, and
yeah, and I mean the whole thing is like really well, especially for her and for the Hulk, the Incredible Hulk, like. They're chasing the American dream. Like, that's what they're doing. And you know, us in England, we hear that, the American dream, all the time. But I don't think we truly understand it. Like, Americans, like, it, you know, it exists. There is an American dream, and you go and chase it. And that's kind of what those two are doing. Like, so maybe she is one of those people that was just like, you know, I can't live out life in this small town where I am, where I've grown up, and you know, watch me follow in my parents' footsteps or whatever. I want to break out, I want to chase the dream, you know.
I thought it was a bit strange how the director just brings up what's going on with her relationship in the documentary. It seems like it's almost kind of to have an emotional beat, because it does feel like they spend most of her part of the documentary exploring her relationship and her marriage and how she's dealt with all that. Like, you know, after leaving her parents, it's weird. I just feel it kind of felt a bit exploitive the way they kind of ask all that stuff on camera.
It feels like her life is kind of the one that's kind of most delved into, definitely. Yeah. Like, I don't know why. I don't know if that's a case of she just gave them more permission than the other people did, or whether, you know, like you say, it is kind of more exploiting of her alone.
Yeah, I don't know if it's because, you know, when you went to her house, it wasn't like completely full with like Wonder Woman stuff. She wasn't as kind of quirky as the other characters, but I feel like she had, you know, real dreams, and they all have real dreams, I guess. But it just felt like they focused like on her personal relationships a lot more.
Yeah. I totally get you. But at the same time, maybe it's all they had to work with. If that was, you know, if it is kind of, to a degree, it's interviews / fly on the wall. You know, if that's what was going on in her life, maybe that's all they could show. You know, like you say, she didn't have this room full of Wonder Woman stuff or just this, you know, all this other stuff to delve into. But yeah, it does feel like she's singled out in that degree of like, of looking into her life and where she came from and all this.
Yeah, they definitely focus on her a lot more in that sense. But I guess they also focus on Maxwell Batman Allen, which...
Best name.
Obviously, I don't think this is obviously like...
Well, Batman's definitely not his middle name. 100%. But Maximus Allen, I think, is his name.
You
see it on actual like police, you know, photos, like mugshot photos.
Yeah, because he goes by Maxwell as well, doesn't he?
Yeah,
it seems so. Yeah,
Maxwell Batman Allen.
Maxwell Batman Allen, born in Texas, looks like George Clooney apparently. Which I can see that
there is like, it's not a double, like it's by no means a double, but there's a resemblance. 100%. There's like, you, if you would say, oh, he looks like someone off of ER, you go, oh, it's probably that George Clooney guy. Like, you know, that's the one you would jump to first.
I feel like he would look more like him if I watched ER and then tried to draw.
Definitely. Or yeah, like watching ER, I don't know why I'm going to ER, it's because they mention it in the documentary.
Yeah.
But yeah, like maybe watching ER very kind of blurry eyed drunk.
Yeah,
like, just... like, oh, that's that guy off that superhero. That's Batman. Guys, that's Batman. And it, well, hey, it actually turned out to be Batman. Unfortunately.
There's this Reddit where it's people who have met someone, what they think is famous. They think it's like some big star, and then they've taken a picture, and it's only once they've uploaded and put it on Facebook.
The world.
Shown the world that they've realized actually it's not them whatsoever.
Awesome.
I can't remember the subreddit's called, but I'll find it and I'll put it in the show
link. Is he on there?
No, but he should be. I feel like if you met him, but then he is famous now anyway because of this. So what do we think about him? Do you reckon,
incredible. Like, what a character. He's like the Kramer of this, like Seinfeld's Kramer. Like, that's how I'd describe him. Like, he's that character. It's batshit crazy. Like, excuse the pun, but it's just so out there.
Do we think he has a black belt in Taekwondo?
100% no. Just being like the video of him training karate or taekwondo or whatever it was, and it's just like he's so adamantly watching the trainer and he's like so out of sync and out of time, and it's like you've never thrown a punch in your life. Like, oh, it's just incredible.
What about Tiger Kung Fu or ninjutsu or or the hand-to-hand combat that you learn from the special forces training?
Yeah, I struggle to believe any of that. I'd be pleasantly surprised if it came out and that he knew even at least one of them. But yeah, I struggle to believe it. Like, it's comical. He's, you know, even other characters in the documentary say, like, he kind of lives in his own world. Even his wife or his girlfriend, his wife, is it?
Yes. Yes. His wife. I think his wife.
Yeah. Wife. Like, even she says at one point, like, I'd only believe 50% of what he says is actually true. He kind of lives in this fantasy world of, like, I don't know, it's like he's done, it's one of them people who, like, you could say, oh, I've done this, I went on a holiday here, and you're telling them about your holiday, and then they'll be like, yeah, but I've been there, but I also done this, or I've been there and here. He's one of them guys. Is incredible. It's just, there's so many funny, like, probably my funniest moment is him, like, it's wait and flight, a group of tourists to walk around a corner, and he jumps out and scares them. But it's the whole movement with the cape and everything, and then the awkwardness after it. It's just, ah, it's so good. He's brilliant.
Like, he is.
Yeah. Like you said earlier, you could have a whole documentary on him alone.
But apparently he was also a bodyguard and slash a stunt car driver. Like, at one point he seems like he was also in, like, possibly the Italian mafia.
Yeah, let's call it an Italian guy.
Yeah. He's very Italian.
Yeah. He's a storyteller. That's what he is. He's a storyteller. Could you imagine having a drink with him and just, like, you wouldn't care whether it was true or not. Just, it would be absolute gold. But yeah, he's a storyteller. Like, everything he says, like, there's this kind of hint of doubt, and usually quite a large hint of doubt. Just, like, he's like, he might as well be a character from one of our British soaps. Like, you know, nobody lives that life. Nobody is in that many car crashes, that many, you know, breakups or, you know, infidelity. You know, he lives that life in his head. Like, everything's happened to him.
My favorite part is, like, he has, like, kind of a tell. So every time he's about to say something completely crazy, he would, like, kind of lick his, like, top corner of his, of his mouth. So he, like, sticks his tongue out completely. And it's just every single time he says something completely crazy, it's just like he says, he does that.
Yeah, it's almost like that pause for thought. Like, yeah. Okay, how can I make myself sound awesome? Like he is Batman. Like, that's like, that is like the comedy kind of perception of Batman. Like, almost like, even like Lego Batman. Like, I'm Batman. Like, it's just this cool character. And, like, he comes across as the epitome of that in this.
Do we reckon he had a body count?
He left a very, very large body count, I believe.
I've got the quote of this, by the way. It says, like,
hang on. When you're talking about this, you've got to explain, like, who he's talking to and what he looks like.
No, this is to the this is not to the therapist. The psychiatrist. Like, this is the part where he says, there are only two ways you get out of it. You either die or everybody else does.
Everyone else died.
And he says, that's pretty much how I got out. I was the only man standing. The only man left standing.
Yeah, just incredible.
Yeah, there's a bit where he's talking to his psychiatrist, like, dressed as Batman, and he's basically told them that there's a body count because someone he loved got into a car accident and then he basically killed them.
It was an accident that was meant for him.
An accident meant for him, yeah.
Yep. And then when he found out who done it, that I went after them, so to speak, I believe is what he says. And he says, I left a rather large body count. Like, and then, like, when the therapist is, like, kind of trying to, you know, dig a bit deeper and get more out of him, just his rebuttal to everything is like, well, there was no, you know, there's no evidence. There's everything's cleaned up, basically. It was a lot easier in the 80s to hide this kind of stuff, where it isn't so much now. Like,
and yeah, and he says, like, there's no statute of limitations on murder. obviously statute of limitations, sorry, not statue.
And like his face at that point.
And also the Hulk doubting him, just being like, I don't know, man.
Yeah, it's like, until I see any of this or actually, you know, hear it's true, I don't know if I can believe it. Like, but they know, they obviously know him. They, you know, like his wife, they probably humor him to a degree, and just let him live in this world as long as he's not hurting anyone. And as you know, if he can rein his temper in, then let him live in this world.
Plus, there was the bit where he goes to a gun range and he's like, what's it? I'll have. Well, he picks a gun. The guy's, was it a
is a Beretta, isn't it? Beretta. Yeah. And he's like, are you sure? And he's like, well, unless you've got a better one.
And then he goes to, and he fires, but do you reckon he's, is he nervous of it? I'm not too sure if he fires guns often. Or...
His hand looked shaky. Like, I was watching that closely.
Yeah.
And his hand went, but like the first pull of that trigger, his hand did look shaky. So at that point I was like, has he used a gun before?
Saying that, earlier this year I used a gun. I went was it clay pigeon shooting?
Yeah.
And the kickback, like, on the gun, yeah, is like, it's something insane. That you can't, yeah, it's, I got, like, my arm was like completely bruised because I'm rubbish at it.
I went to like a little gun range at like this kind of activity center for a stag do. It was like one of the like activities we'd done. And yeah, same. Like, and you don't realize how heavy they are as well. Mm. Like, you know, you remember being a kid, if you bought toy guns, they were obviously made of plastic, made for kids, you know, lightweight. And then you pick up this real thing and you're like, wow, that's, and like you say, the kickback, insane.
Yeah.
But I would feel if you were as trained as he professes to be, those shakes wouldn't be there. But then I suppose you could say maybe it's been a long time since he used a gun. And if he did murder someone, it probably would be quite a, you know, traumatic experience picking up the gun again.
Yeah, he's probably having like flashbacks and memories and stuff of it. He's like, damn you, Tony!
He was very Italian, Ian.
Thank God it was the 80s. Otherwise, we wouldn't have him in the documentary. So the rest of the documentary, he gets arrested for using the toilet, like for picketers, who are like protesting. And it seems it's weird because after that, like, I'm guessing the bit where they interview him as like a security guard on like a film set,
yeah,
he seems like really, like, toned down, doesn't he? I don't know if, like, him
as close to kind of air quotes normal as he is in the entire documentary.
I feel like it's maybe he's ever realized how he's coming across, or he's maybe even in a therapy thing now. Maybe it's like a him getting arrested. One of his things was, you know, therapy.
Could be, or it could just be, you know, this. It looked very much to me at that point like. That was a kind of more, that's more of a, he's got to be more serious in that position, like being a security for what he was doing. But also he looked at it as an opportunity to get noticed. Like, you know, I look like George Clooney. So hopefully by working on this film set, I'll be noticed and they'll be like, hey, I'm going to make a $1 million movie with you. Like, he's still living in that dream. To a degree, like it's always there, I think, with him.
Yeah, I just thought he didn't seem like himself at all.
No, he was complete. It was like a different character.
But I guess, as you said, he was at work. And yeah, he is representing that company.
Well, just security. That's it. When I saw it, I was like, how do I know he's not just dressed as a security guy? Because all he's got is a t-shirt with security written on it.
That's what he's
like. Exactly. But like, how do I know like that that's his actual job? And Matt, he's not just sat there and like
asked Matt, his body's a weapon. His body is a weapon.
But again, layers, man. Like, there's so much, so much. And he is just, like, I mean, if you haven't, if you're listening to this and you haven't watched the documentary, you know, that's probably a bad choice. Yeah. But you need to watch it anyway. Like, it's, and if you have watched it and it's the first time you've ever watched it, I can probably guarantee it's one you're going to cherish and you'll want to watch again, because it is just brilliant.
Absolutely. And on that note, I think we're going to have a break right now until we go check out the post stuff, because we haven't looked into any of the post stuff that's happened since the documentary's come out, what's happened to them, because we don't want to spoil it for ourselves. So we're going to have a break, a little musical intermission, and we'll be straight back after that. And we're back. I struggled to find a lot about certain people. There's a few, like, obviously Superman. The biggest news for Superman is that he died last year.
Yeah, man.
That's, it was in November. It wasn't even that long ago. It was like, yeah. Less than six months ago, so.
Did it mention how he died, or?
I think it was heart attack or heart failure. Let me double check. I did remember seeing that he had died. But like, I don't know.
Did you see what happened to him before that?
Yes. Oh, that was horrible.
Like, beaten up with a golf club or something. Like, most of his teeth were knocked out. And all his money was stolen.
Did you hear what happened to the suit? They stole his Superman suit and then burnt it.
Yeah, it's fucked.
Which was,
what's evil?
Yeah, that's just horrible. Yeah. That's just
it's pure evil. Like, I saw one little like clip of him like talking, like since that happened, and he looked like a broken man. Like, it obviously, you know, knocked a lot out of him, that happening to him. But yeah, he weren't the same guy. Like, it looked like a guy who'd given up, you know?
Yeah, it's just
quite sad.
It's horrible. Yeah, because you see him in the documentary, he's like so hopeful, and it's like to find out that that stuff has happened to him, it's just, yeah, you just, it's horrible.
Well, it looks like, well, he split from his wife. Because I saw a thing and he'd lost his house, become homeless, and all of his memorabilia was in, like, storage.
Yeah? Huh.
Them, like, lock-up storage sort of place, like a garage. It was all in one of those. Like, on that Storage Wars or whatever, that terrible TV show, one of them.
Yeah. I see that he was the focus of another documentary about him coming back to Hollywood. It was called like Hollywood, Hollywood Boulevard Superman. There was like him coming back, and like it's how he's trying to get his life back together after the attack.
Oh wow.
Yeah,
I'd be interested in watching that. Yeah, definitely.
We'll put that in the show notes. Yeah, it's just horrible to find out.
It does feel like just stuff just went awfully for him. One thing after the other.
Yeah.
But yeah, for someone to attack him and like to the level of, or at least from the little I've seen and read, you know, the degree of damage the person tried to do to him, it's just, it's horrible. Like, horrible to think of, like, because you kind of feel like you know this character now. It's just sad.
Yeah, it's especially since he was like saying that he has the fame, but he doesn't have the fortune. He said that in the documentary, and I don't know. I guess it never really took off.
No.
Well,
it's I think he was chasing a dream. I think it all, I've been thinking about it since, and I think he was chasing a dream that, like, because it goes on how he was working, at first he was working, like, waitering tables.
Yeah.
And how people were telling him, you look like Superman. And then it looks like he kind of just took off with that, and that became his life's dream. But it's like, you know, there, you can't be, you know, just because you look like someone doesn't mean you can step in their shoes and live their life. Like, but I think he truly believed that that would take him to where he needed to be. But it's sad. It's just sad that, you know, it's sad to find out he's dead. And like it says, he'd, from what I read, it said he'd been doing it 30 years.
Yeah. It's...
30 years doing that. Like, you know, I've never been to Hollywood, but, you know, if I was going and I didn't know he died and I'd seen this documentary, I'd be like, I want to find him. Like, I want my picture with him, and I will tip. Like, but yeah, it's just sad to think. You know, he was obviously a staple of Hollywood, really. Like, so I guess in a way, he did find fame, but like you say, he just didn't have the fortune with it. And like he said, he never got the fortune. But you know, we're talking about him, like, so yeah. We're on the, you know, completely different country. So you know, he made it in that sense.
Yeah, it's just. Yeah, horrible to find out after watching that. It's just like such a kind of upbeat, positive. There's like a lot of optimism, like towards the end. It's like where the future's going to go.
I did really think though, like, because I genuinely, like, I've seen other documentaries with these characters in, but I've never thought to look up and think, oh, I wonder, you know, if they're still out there, like, and just find all this out now. But I did have an inkling that possibly, well, more than one of them would be dead. But I thought just from living a hard life and continuously trying to chase that dream, but it never come into fruition for them. And it just them going down this spiral into like homelessness and then just poverty and, you know, eventually death or getting into, you know, bad drugs and ODing or something. Like, I thought there were going to be some horror stories, but yeah, none quite as sad as this one. Like, just the whole story is just, it's because he did portray that kind of hope, and that's what Superman's all about. So yeah, it's quite sad. Wonder Woman, it obviously looks like she's done quite a lot since.
Yeah, she's in, was it My Name Is Earl? On one of them.
Serious?
She's also in, well, no, only in for like one episode, I think, but she's also in New Girl.
Oh, wow. Well, I was going to say, it looks like she's done a few films as well.
Yeah, I think, yeah, she's doing films right now. Any particular ones that stand out?
No, I just literally looked to see what she'd done. Like,
she's also really in True Blood as well.
Oh wow, I've never seen it. I've heard it's good.
I think she was in one episode of that. Yeah, she's definitely, I don't know, made it in some the bigger TV shows.
I couldn't find anything on Hulk, man.
Yeah, he's quite hard. Like, so I looked into him, and all I could find was he's done two films since the film mentioned in. Yeah, mentioned in the documentary that
something came up on mine saying honorary achievement award that he won, but I don't know if it's him or someone with the same name. I didn't look further into it, but it came up in my Google search for that name.
I mean, Joe McQueen, I suppose that's quite like, that could be a popular name.
Well, it came up Joseph McQueen.
Oh. I I don't know. I couldn't tell you. Like, unless you see a picture of him, it's kind of hard to say, isn't it?
Yeah. But yeah, I really wanted to find out, like, if he'd done loads more, but I really couldn't see a lot on him.
Have you looked into what happened to Batman?
Like I say, I in the the brief time I've looked, I've seen there's a like a podcast. I'm seeing it for a YouTube, so it's video podcast. The Comic Book Geeks. It's episode 44. Called Batman. And he's the guest on it. And I've literally watched like 5 minutes of the intro of it, not even 5 minutes, 3 minutes of the intro, but just in that alone, like, it's 30 minutes long on YouTube. So like, probably worth seeking out if you haven't seen it already. But yeah, on that alone, I'm already, as soon as this is done, I'm going to watch it because it's him. And I'm like, and it's from 6 years ago. So not quite as up to date as I'd like it to be, but it's more of that character, and I'd pay for a whole entire Batman franchise with him as Batman. For the rest of my life, I'd be happy with that as Batman. But yeah, like, I noticed the two guys running the podcast. They're obviously asking him questions, and it looks like they ask about Superman, and it looks like they had a falling out, but again, I'm not far enough in to know what happened or if he's even going to explain it. But you might know more on this. I don't know.
Well, we'll link that in the show notes anyway, just so people can like deep dive and investigate themselves. Because we've only looked into this for about, say, 20 minutes.
Yeah.
I had some stuff saved already that I do want to talk about.
Did he do a film?
He did do a film. It was around the same time as the documentary came out. So it was about 2007.
Right.
But I think it was just like a little, like a bit part in it.
It's not the film we see him in the documentary, no?
So... That is on his IMDb, but his most recent film was that, I think.
Yeah.
But I did find out that he had a YouTube channel, right, where he attempted to debunk a lot of what he called lies from the documentary. I found this on Reddit, and it's like a Reddit post from 5 years ago, and it just explains that. He'd do these short videos, and he would like film his life as like a costume performer, and he wound up to get into like a fist fight that attracted some trolls to his channel, and soon his videos would become nothing but him raging out about, you know, the trolls on his video and basically inviting him to fight him.
This was his YouTube channel.
Yeah, if you
search, does it still exist?
His channel, I know, doesn't exist anymore, but his
videos,
yeah, I think they have been re-uploaded somewhere. Awesome. Like someone saved them. I've seen one or two, and it's like basically him explaining.
Angry? Is he angry?
I've seen like one of the first ones that comes up. It's him just kind of like absolutely kicking off in the street, screaming at people. But that's not one of his videos. That was like him being like exposed by someone else. basically, I think. But there's like things where he would like, basically people would arrange to meet up like as like, you know, a presenter of another show, like say like Howard Stern. And they would convince him that he's, you know, to meet up and that. And then it's just the troll thing again. And
they're taking the mick out of him.
Yeah, yeah.
See that.
No, I mean, as in, like, they would say that...
It wasn't actually Howard Stern.
No, it was Artie Lang from... It was basically someone from a radio show, and they would pretend that they were going to meet up and, like, discuss stuff, and then in the end, they just fun of him. And
but that was part of their radio show to make fun of him, but he wasn't in on the joke.
Oh no, it's not the radio show at all. It's literally some randomer, the troll on the internet.
Right, yeah, that's what I was saying. Yeah. So it's someone pretending to be them.
Yeah. So he would what was it? He also, like, it says on here that he also expounded upon his backstory in his videos.
Right.
And the Reddit poster, J Bibby, said that the dude is delusional, and he quit YouTube a few months after that. But his backstory, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is summarized by the person who wrote this post, says, keep in mind, it was completely serious when we recorded this. He worked as a smuggler of antique guns and fine cigars in Texas. Essentially, he worked with a team of criminals that were trained by a rogue army officer named J.J. Raven. They included, in brackets, I wish I was kidding, an Asian medicine man who used holistic remedies, an explosives expert, which
it's so cool. I love it, man. It's the
which
best.
Was which was him. He was the explosives expert.
Of course he was.
As well as a submarine captain whose sub they could smuggle illicit cargo from Mexico. It says one of his crew betrayed him and then killed Max's bride to be. So of course Max tracked him down to Mexico and was about to kill him in the cargo warehouse when he decided to spare him. Something went wrong and the warehouse exploded.
What? Oh my god. Like, this is awesome.
In brackets he says literally exploded, like in a movie it exploded.
Of course, yeah. Like how I've seen.
And then him and JJ Raven jumped out the second story window into a bay to avoid the explosion. And apparently that's his backstory. That's what he did. That's where the body count happened. He basically apparently blew up a warehouse and somehow jumped out of a second story window into the bay to survive it all.
So I'd watch that movie.
I don't know. He does need his own film. It'd be great if he just did like his.
I'd watch it. Like, especially if everyone. Well, like, if the people making it knew that the audience is in on how over the top ridiculous it should be, like, I'd know that would make money, but he's got to play himself.
Yeah, I think it should be like a mockumentary. Is like, I mean, but you know, he would obviously pretend it's real and stuff, but it's just insane. It's just absolutely crazy. I just want to see, if you want to see more of Batman from this documentary, you should go check out, obviously, YouTube, because there's loads of stuff of his stuff on there. But what you need to check out is there's another documentary called Reenactors.
Yeah.
Which I've seen, you've seen, Matt. I think these two documentaries complement each other perfectly because they're filmed at the same time, more or less, as each other. And it's almost from like a different point of view. So people in this documentary, Confessions of a Superhero, will, like, the people in the background will be in like the front runners in this other documentary, which is, you know, conveniently filmed at the same time. It's nothing to do with the guy who made this documentary. I love that other documentary because it shows you Batman from like almost another point of view. It focuses on Batman more, and it shows you that he's not just Batman the whole time. He is Freddy Krueger at some points as well.
I do need to watch that again now. Now I've watched this again after it's probably been a good maybe three, 4 years since I last seen this. So roughly about the same time for Reenactors. So yeah, I feel like I need to. Is that on YouTube as well?
I think when I last checked, that I think you can find it on Amazon, Amazon Prime. Anyway. Yeah. Or you might be able to find it on other streaming services and that. It's definitely on Amazon Prime.
That's the one. It's called Jack Sparrow as well, isn't it?
Oh yeah, Jack Sparrow. If I was Jack Sparrow.
Yeah. Yeah, I need to rewatch that, man.
Yeah, that was good. Maybe we'll do a follow up. One of this, and we can put we can do reenactors next time.
Yeah, man.
Because I think it's equally as great. It's its own thing. It kind of, yeah, I just love it. I just love seeing it introduced. What is it? They interviewed, was it Marilyn Monroe and all that quite a lot more, and Jack Sparrow. Anybody who's mentioned in the first part of this documentary, where it's like, oh, here's the people you see. Yeah. It'll go into that a lot more. So.
Yeah, because like Marilyn, like you only see a glimpse of her in this, and reenactors. There is much more. Like you get to see a lot more of her. Like because in this, you literally get that little glimpse, and already you're like, you're intrigued. Like because she's kind of out there in like she's in one kind of major scene where she has like lines, so to speak, like in confessions.
Yeah, she's having like a meltdown on this. About
not being paid, which again is totally understandable. Like if that's your job, but yeah, you get to see a lot more of her in reenactors. But yeah, I'm gonna have to rewatch that. But I am 100% so desperate to watch this Batman thing now, just because it sounded to me like he was. Like the interview guys saying, like, you know, you and Superman had a falling out, and then Batman's kind of in Maxwell's way, Maximus's way. It's just like bigging himself up in the best way he can. So I just think it's probably going to be a train wreck, but I can't wait to watch it.
Yeah, I definitely want to see that as well. Send me the link.
Yeah.
And as I said, like anything we've mentioned about Linkwise, we'll put them in the show notes. So you'll be able to check that out too. If you have any feedback.
In your opinion, would you say who would you say has done the best since? Like who's, would you say Wonder Woman's like kind of made it in the best? Well, I suppose she has in terms of what she's done in her acting career.
I would say, I don't know, it's kind of a toss up between Wonder Woman, but she had like kind of bit parts in, say, quite famous TV shows. Was it Christopher Dennis, Superman? He did do quite well after. He was in like a lot of films, mainly playing himself, like in the background of stuff. So he'd be playing,
There's
like a lot of series about him. People are obsessed with him happened.
This is his legacy. This documentary is kind of what put him on the map, really. Like for the world's eyes to see, not just the tourists.
He is the face of this documentary, isn't he? Like yeah. If you see the DVD cover, it's him on like the therapist couch, like laying down.
Do you kind of see the similarities between like this kind of being him being the face of this documentary, but Batman kind of stole it. And like in the competition, like it's the same thing.
I suppose Batman did steal limelight in that as well.
And it's just like, oh, it's poetic. Like that, the whole symmetry between that and the documentary itself. Like on a kind of meta level is, it's kind of out there.
And that's it for another episode. If you've liked this, please subscribe. If you want to follow us on social media and see what we're doing next, then you can do that by looking in our show notes. Thanks for listening. Until next time.